Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our prayer meeting. It's good to see all of you here today. Today will be our last prayer meeting for the year. We will take a break and our prayer meeting will resume in the last week of January. And today is the 15th of December, so there are only 17 more days before it is 2022. And I think we all can agree that it has been an absolutely unpredictable 2 years. And sometimes it still feels surreal to me what has happened. And for many of us, things have already been stressful prior to the pandemic, and the pandemic has only increased the amount of stress. And as much as we all hope to have things become normal again, and actually whatever that might mean, normal, but it doesn't seem like things are going to be normal in that sense. But with or without a pandemic, we all need to learn how to rest in the Lord. Part of living is going through challenges and hardship as well as the good times. And Jesus has made a way so that we can learn how to rest in Him no matter what our circumstances are. So today we are going to look at rest, and our text is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 6 and 25 to 30. And I've entitled this sermon after verse 28, "Come all who are weary." So reading from Matthew chapter 11, verses 2. "When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?' Jesus replied, 'Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me.'" And then in verse 25, "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.'" Let's pray. Father, we truly thank you that in you, Lord, there is rest. You do not expect us, Lord, to find rest by ourselves, but you offer that to us, God. And we want to admit that a lot of times we are weary, we are burdened, we are heavy laden. And Lord, as we look at this passage, as we look at what you're saying to us, help us learn, Lord, to find rest in our souls as we come before you, Lord. Help us understand what that means, God. So speak to us, God, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first point is to learn to rest in reflecting on what God is doing. So at this time, John Baptist has been imprisoned by Herod Antipas because John confronted Herod for seducing and then marrying his brother's wife. And Herod obviously did not like what John had said, so Herod put John in prison. So while in prison, John sends his disciples to ask Jesus whether he was the Messiah that they were waiting for, or should they be expecting someone else. And if you remember, earlier during the baptism of Jesus, which John was the one baptizing Jesus, John had testified that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Spirit of God had revealed to John that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. He was God's chosen one. So John gave witness that Jesus is the one that he was preparing the way for, the one that he is preaching about, the one that is greater than he is. And in fact, he encouraged people, even his own disciples, to follow Jesus at that time. But now, as he was in prison, John started to become weary. and doubts arose. So he had been doing God's work. He has been preaching about the kingdom of God. He has been calling people to repentance. But it doesn't seem like anything has happened or has changed. The kingdom of God that he was preaching about, he had been expecting, is not seen in what Jesus was doing. So he had expected that Jesus would bring restoration to Israel, that Jesus would bring judgment towards the wicked, towards those who do not repent. But here, he is in prison, and the unrepentant wicked people were still in power. So it's as though he was asking, if Jesus was the Messiah, why was he not doing anything? Or he was asking, could I have gotten wrong about Jesus being the Messiah? So John was weary, John was heavy laden. And Jesus answered John's disciples by asking them, Jesus answered John's disciples by asking them to report to John what they hear and see. So verse 5 says, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. So these things that Jesus was doing were actually part of what the Old Testament's prophets had prophesied about the Messiah. But as John was weary and he was discouraged by the circumstances, he needed assurance. He needed, and Jesus pointed him to see what Jesus was doing. He was ministering to the needs of the people. And that was evidence that the kingdom of God is here through Jesus. And in pointing John to see what he was doing, Jesus was also realigning John to his heart, his compassion and love for the people who are in need. And that is what the kingdom of God is all about, that God cares for his people. But as we know, Jesus did not fit into the conventional expectation of the Messiah, of the Jewish people at that time. So they were expecting Jesus to be a political, to bring political restoration. And many people couldn't accept him. And some ignored him, some rejected him, and some were offended and plotted against him. So in verse 6, Jesus said, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. So he was hoping that John would be able to see what God was doing through him. And John was will be able to learn how to rest and trust in Jesus instead of being stumbled because Jesus does not necessarily fit into his expectation. So here we see that even John the Baptist, he was the one who was preparing the way for the Messiah his whole life. And he was the one whom the Holy Spirit had revealed that Jesus was the one that God sent. John, who received all this, he became weary and heavy laden. And the Lord pointed him to rest in the assurance that God is doing his work. Despite the hardship that he was facing, God was still working among his people. And all of us, we all have been weary and heavy laden. And some of us are weary and heavy laden now. And many times when we are in that state, we can be too overwhelmed with our circumstances, by what is happening to us. And sometimes we are overwhelmed with what our expectations are on how things should be like. And then our visions get blurred. You know, we are unsure of the promises of God anymore. We are unsure of God's calling on our lives. We start to doubt. And in these times, we all need to be reassured in these times of discouragement. And God invites us to meditate on who he is and reflect what he is doing. And I don't know how many of you have the practice of doing reflections. And if you don't, I would really encourage you to do that. But reflections are really necessary for us to learn to process through what we are going through, to help us process our thoughts, our feelings, and it helps us face and work out our issues that are causing us to be weary and burdened. So for prayerful reflections actually forces us to slow down, to think, to feel, and to allow God to speak. Now, this is a disturbing fact, but unfortunately it's true for many of us, including myself. Many times, instead of reflecting on in the presence of God about our day or the things that has happened, especially when it is a bad day, we rather unwind with mindless activities. You know, we choose to watch Netflix, YouTube, we browse through social media, we play games. It gives us a sense of escapism from reality because we do not wish to visit the bad times that because they will uncover the negative emotions in us. So instead of doing that, we kind of drown these things with what would take our mind away from it. But when we think about it, it never truly goes away, does it? It stays there, most likely suppressed, or at least we try to suppress it, but it will always manifest itself eventually. And the accumulation of it causes us to become burdened, weary, worrisome, and weighed down. So prayerful reflections, the meditation of God's word, these are the things that help us to address the issues. It realigns us to God, and it helps us receive clarity for our blurred vision. So Jesus pointed John to what he was doing. And as we prayerfully reflect, God often reminds us to focus on what he is doing now in our lives, in the lives of the people around us, because his work continues. He knows the challenges that we go through. He knows how overwhelmed we are. And yet he points us to reflect on his work. He assures us that he has got this, that we can count on him. And every time when I reflect on the work of God in my life, in the lives of those people around me, it always leads me to a place of thanksgiving. Because firstly, God knows all my weaknesses. He knows all my mess, all my failures. And yet he is not only ready to forgive me, but he welcomes me back. He invites me to himself. And secondly, in the mess, in the failures that I created or that anyone else created, he continues to work. In the places of ashes, God meets me in his grace, in his love, and he exchanges it for beauty. He works through and he works in me in my broken life. And the second point is the rest that Jesus offers is available to all. And you would have noticed that we have skipped the middle part of Matthew chapter 11. In that part, just a summary of what has happened. Jesus spoke about John. He commended John for the work that he did. And secondly, Jesus spoke about the people who had rejected both John and Jesus. Jesus was comparing them to children who were not satisfied with anything because John and Jesus were very different people, but both they didn't follow either one. They rejected both. And then the third, Jesus spoke about the judgment that awaits the unrepentant cities. So it was not that John preached a wrong message of repentance about judgment, about the kingdom of God. And in fact, Jesus actually praised John for doing so. And he also affirmed that there will be judgment on the wicked. And Jesus continues to offer life and rest to those who will receive him. So in verse 25, he says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So the revelation of who God is revealed to those who would come to God with childlike faith, to those who would depend on God and put their trust in God. During the time of Jesus, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, were regarded as blessed and holy because they knew the law well. They were learned and they were considered wise. But Jesus contradicts the culture of that time, and he even contradicts the culture of our time. The knowledge of God does not depend on human wisdom or education. And in his own words, it is revealed to little children. So anyone who is interested, who is willing to come to Jesus to learn, they will receive the revelation of who God is. And in fact, those who consider themselves wise, those who consider themselves clever, these people are the ones who often put their trust in their own wisdom, their own abilities, and that caused it harder for them to learn to trust in the Lord. And the passages before and after this shows exactly that. There were many people who were given the opportunity to know God through Christ, but they rejected him. They rejected him out of pride and arrogance. And many of them were learned people, but they still rejected Jesus. So there is really no secret to knowing who God is. You know, one doesn't need to be extraordinarily wise or a highly educated person in order to know God. The only way to know God is to go to Jesus, to speak to him, and to listen to what he says. Everyone is given the same opportunity to know God. And how much we know God actually depends on how much we want to know him. And Jesus continued to reveal that the way to God is through Jesus. So the Jewish leaders in the Old Testament had the Old Testament scriptures that gave them knowledge about God, but it was not a full picture. So when Jesus came, he represented God fully. He was the perfect revelation of God. And the irony is the leaders who were supposed to be experts in scriptures, they even knowing scriptures did not help them in recognizing the revelation of God through Jesus Christ. So their confidence was in their knowledge, their own ability, and their own customs. And that made them arrogant that they couldn't see the Son of God right in front of them. So God's rest is available to us through the person of Jesus. It is not how much we know about scriptures, about the Bible, that will give us rest, but it is in being in the presence of God, being in the intimacy with that Christ offers, that rest comes from him. And it is completely available to all of us because of the direct access that Christ has purchased for us through his blood. And then finally, Jesus invites us to come to him. The third point is rest in exchanging our burden for his yoke. Verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Rest is found in Jesus. Jesus invites those who are weary and burdened to him, and he promised to give us rest. And a lot of times when we think about the word rest, we often think about the cessation of work. We want to be completely relieved from all labor and all burden. But that is not the rest that Jesus is talking about. That is not what he offers. He offers us his yoke that is easy and light in exchange of our weariness and burden, so that we can find rest in our souls. So the word yoke, it is a metaphor from carrying or plowing. In the Old Testament, it was also a mark of servitude to a conqueror. And in the New Testament, yoke is always used metaphorically to signify bondage or submission to authority of some kind. And when you look at the Jewish people of that time, they were oppressed by the Romans. They were under the heavy yoke of the Roman government. And on top of that, the religious leaders made faith another heavy yoke for them. There was a common phrase that they used during that time, the yoke of the law, which meant obedience to the law. And the religious leaders see it as a blessing because they pride themselves in how well they could obey the law, how righteous they are before God and men. But it was different for the common people. The yoke of the law was not meant to be oppressive. But what happened is the demands, the arbitrary demands that the religious leaders placed on the people had caused the yoke to be a burden for the common people. The people already had more than enough burden on their own. And these leaders who were supposed to care for them, or who were supposed to help them, they added more load to their existing burden. And in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, Jesus spoke harshly about these leaders. He said, "They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. So Jesus understood the yoke that the Roman Empire and the religious leaders put the people under. And so he was not going to do the same to the people. Instead, Jesus offers a yoke that is light, that is easy. It is not that Jesus demanded less from the people. When you look at his preaching, you look at the Sermon on the Mount, it actually shows that actually Jesus requires more from us than the laws. But the rest, the easy and light yoke that comes from Jesus is from the person of who he is. So in calling us to come to him, Jesus was inviting us to enter into a relationship with him, to learn from him, to come under his rule, to come under his leadership and authority. And the world has distorted the original definition and the purpose of leadership. And we are surrounded by so much of bad leadership that any kind of authority always sounds bad to us. But we need to understand that Jesus is a different kind of king. He is not like the religious leaders who only adds burden to the people. He is not like many of our leaders who are selfish, who only uses us and only pushes their own agenda. But in contrast, Jesus is gentle. He is humble in heart. He is not arrogant and oppressive. And he is the one who had given up his throne to be a slave to servants. He is the king who laid down his life for us. And when I think all of us at some point in our lives, we had worked under bad leadership. But at the same time, many of us have the privilege to work under good leaderships as well. And we know how pleasant the experience of working under good leaderships are. You know, people learn, people grow, people thrive under good leaderships. And even when there is a lot of work, good leaderships always make it the work enjoyable. And because we can be rest assured that our leaders are there for us, that they give us a lot of confidence and rest in the whole process. And that is what Jesus gives us. He is humble and gentle. And he invites us to himself so that we can learn to rest by coming under his leadership and authority, by trusting his rule, by depending on him for strength and guidance. And like I said just now, it doesn't mean that we are relief of all labor and work. In fact, in inviting us to carry his yoke, Jesus is also inviting us to join him in his work. He does give us work. But we can be assured that Jesus is not a tyrant master who enslaves us with his demands and expectations. He does not expect us to make our way to him. He does not expect us to do it ourselves. He made a way for us to go to him. His yoke is light and easy. And he wants to exchange it with our heavy burdens. So Jesus is teaching us that work and rest does not necessarily contradict one another. The rest that Jesus offers is for our soul, the rest that we will experience at the center of our most inner being. A rest that is not weary or worry about the circumstances around us, a rest that is assured by the presence of God, who is constantly guiding, helping, teaching us as we go to him. A rest that empowers us to do the work that he entrusts us. And I think when we look at rest, sometimes a lot of times we also look for rest by wanting to know how or when these problems of ours will be addressed. But Jesus does not always provide those details. Jesus does not want our souls to rest on the how and when. And rather, he wants us to learn how to rest on the assurance that he will keep his promises to us in the best way and the best time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Proverbs 3, 5 to 8, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. He is truly good to us, and he invites us to his presence that is filled with his love, care, and goodness. And unfortunately, we are all also tempted to find rest in other things instead of God, which I mentioned before this. And sin actually creates a lie in our hearts that we think that in our restlessness, we can find satisfaction and relief in the things of the world. So it then becomes a restless pursuit of satisfaction, fulfillment, and happiness outside of God. And when we look at these questions that I've listed up, where or who or what do we go to when we are disappointed, when we are hurt, when we are frustrated? And how does it help us? When we look at these questions, we will be able to find out where our rest comes from. But the things of the world cannot give us rest that we need and desire. And in our pursuit of them, we may receive temporary relief in the form of a distraction, but we often end up being more enslaved, more heavily laden, and more undersatisfied. And these things never really lighten our burdens. But the only place our souls could find rest is in God. Just like what we read in Psalm 62, verses 5 to 8. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is the rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. He is the only one who can give us relief from our restlessness. We need him. And if you're like me, it is not always easy to shake off the weariness and the worries. And it is actually more easier to spiral down into the dark pit. Perhaps our weariness is so deep, so heavy, because we are not spending enough time with God. We are not learning from him. We are not exchanging our burden with him. Now, sometimes we think that by just sending our prayer request to him is enough. But how can we truly learn to receive his rest if we are not with him? It's like having bites of protein bars here and there, which is good for us, but not enough to sustain long-term, like good, healthy meals. So rest can only be found in our time with the Lord. Not only when we do that, not only we recharge our soul, but we also learn to physically slow down and rest. And finally, we need other people. We all get weary in different ways, in different reasons, at different times. But when we are weary, we are easily discouraged. In those moments, we are often not in the best position to remind ourselves about going to God. So we need others to speak truth to us, to help us go to God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And in chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." So I'm going to read this verse once again, and I encourage you to just take time to meditate on this verse. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is God asking us to exchange with Him? How can His kingship bring us rest? How can His love, His care, His goodness bring us rest? The yoke that Jesus is offering is easy and light, and we truly can trust Him and go to Him. We'll be going to a time of prayer, and the list is on the slide. And I would encourage you, all of you, to join us as we pray. You may choose one of the items on the screen or anything that God has placed in your heart. Sometimes it may feel intimidating to pray in public, but as we even look through this passage, you remember that you are praying to God. Remember that God is inviting us to also bring our fear of praying to Him. He is humble, He is gentle, and we can find rest in that in Him as well. So let us look to God in prayer. Father, we truly thank You for the invitation that You have given us, each of us, Lord, that we can come before You, that we do not need to carry the burden on ourselves, that we can look for rest in Your presence, in who You are, trusting in You, God. Lord, I pray for all of us here, Lord. I pray for the ones who are especially heavy laden, who are weary, Lord, that You open our eyes to see, Lord, what You are doing in our lives. You open our eyes to see Your will in our lives, God. Because Your work, Your will brings assurance to us and it brings us rest, Lord. Help us to see, Lord, that even though we feel weary, even though we feel tired and worry, You are still in control. You are still doing Your work. Your work doesn't stop, Lord. Just like how You send John's disciples back to remind him of what You're doing, do that with us, God. I pray, Lord, that You teach us to reflect on what You are doing in our life, God. And as we do that, Lord, You bring peace, You bring joy as well, God. And we are truly thankful, Lord, as You invite us to You to learn from You, to be under Your yoke. It is not a yoke that is burdensome. It is not a yoke that demands us to do all kinds of things. But as we look at the person of Jesus, You are gentle. You are humble. You love us. You care for us. You are truly good, God. You are not oppressive. You are not like any other world leaders who only think about themselves. But You were willing to lay down Your throne, to come to serve us as humans, to lay down Your life so that we can have this access with You, so that we can have this relationship with You, so that we can come before You and learn from You. And when we have that kind of King that rules over us, we know that we are in good hands. So Lord, help us to rest in that assurance that You are taking care of us. Help us to learn to rest, Lord, knowing that we do not need to carry this burden by ourselves. Help us to come before You and submit to You, Lord. Lord, we also want to admit, Lord, there are many times where we have chosen to rest in other things, Lord. And God, we ask, Lord, that You help us see that these things have not worked and we will not work, Lord. But the rest that You give, the freedom that You give, Lord, that is the only thing, Lord, that can satisfy us, that can fulfill us, that can bring us through to true rest, Lord, that we need, God, the rest of our souls. So we pray for each of us, God. We pray, Lord, that You speak, that You minister, and You help us, Lord, make that commitment to come before You, to learn from You, to rest in You, God. So we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you, dear Lord. We also continue to pray for our workplaces, dear Lord. We pray that you would guide, that you would lead us, Lord Father, in your truth, that you would lead us, Lord Father, in your wisdom. We pray, Lord Father, that we will seize every opportunity, Lord, to lead, to be examples, Lord Father, to understand, Lord, your presence, Lord, in the workplace. Dear Lord, we pray that you would guide us, Lord, in this. We also pray that even as all the ministries are planning for the coming year, that you would guide every ministry, that you would strengthen, that you would send more volunteers, that you would help, Lord, them understand your calling and your purpose, Lord. We also commit the church into your hands, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen the church, that you would help us, Lord, to be a light, Lord, to reach out, Lord, to our neighbors and the people around us. So, Lord, we pray that you guide us, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that we can gather, Lord, in your name. Bless, Lord, each one of us. Keep us, Lord, in your love. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.